What's up, weebs? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast, and today's a special episode, and we'll get into that to a little bit. For right now, I need to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is Clark's, because today's episode is brought to you by Clark's. And Clark's story began almost 200 years ago when Cyrus and James Clark made a slipper from sheepskin. At the time, it was groundbreaking, a combination of invention and craftsmanship that remained at the heart of what Clark's does. And from the very beginning, Clark's has always thought differently. Brilliant ideas are what set Clark's apart. So, we're teaming up, us weebs and Clark's and Podgo, to bring you 30% off on select items, including on the iconic Clark's Desert Boot, by going to podgo.co/Clark's. And that's podgo.co/Clark's. Now, get ready for the episode and get ready for that classic hey-yo. All right, see you guys. Right, it's what we do best. We pillage. So they're going right into that village, right? And I'm like, oh great. And then when I see it shift to this family, you know, just chilling, you know, talking about Christianity, eating, you know, I was like, please, oh God, please. And it's heart wrenching. I do want to talk about that in a little bit. I want to talk about some of the themes that they bring up, especially in religion and Christianity, but. I think the most striking thing was when that woman, one of the eldest daughters was outside, and she was just watching Askeladd and his men just out here just slaughtering her family, and the rest of the townsfolk, and just taking all their food. And I'm just like, this is hell. You know, this is the end of you. This is your world crumbling down just because, you know, for her, it was everything. For them, they were like, oh, this is just a place to stay for a few days and we're moving on. We got to still march, you know. It was a powerful episode. And the scenery, the imagery was great. And what Wit Studio does really well, I don't know why, but they animate the hands well. And it sounds silly. Guys, if you people who love Attack, watch the first two seasons of Attack on Titan. Watch Vinland Saga a little closely. Whenever they do a close up of a hand or a body part, it looks so good, and it's almost indescribable. But you can almost feel like the emotion from just looking at their scarred, cold hand or brutal or you know battered hand. It's amazing. I don't know why Wit Studio is good at that. But I'm happy that they're good.
No, and like you bring up a good point, and the idea of religion, because that same episode, the daughter who was watching her family and friends be massacred. Oh, it starts out with this small subplot that she goes to a tree to find a ring that she stole, and she's praying to God for forgiveness.
That's right.
And there's so much emphasis on the hand. Like, she puts the ring on, she takes it off, she hides it in the knot of the tree. And she's like, I'm sure you'll forgive me. You know, you died for my sins. I hope this can be one of those things that you forgive. I feel bad, but it looks so good on me. And, like, that's her world. That's the biggest problem to her is that God's going to be mad that she took this ring off of some merchant's table.
And it's incredible.
And then she turns around. And, like, heartbreaking, man.
I was like, what was one of your favorite
episodes? I think one of my favorite episodes, it kind of comes down to, like, I always enjoy the tactical genius, and not like L from Death Note, because like I always feel like that was just a cop out of just like, oh, I knew.
Yeah, it's a little overplayed.
But we get to see how smart Askeladd is. I can't remember which one it is, but there's this fort that they're trying to get to, and they're like, the only way we could get to it is if we went by river, and it would take us days to get our boats around the entire island and then go up river. So they're like, all right, fuck it, let's get these boats on hand and let's run this bitch into the lake behind the base, and then we will storm the castle. It was a great moment.
I loved it.
I think it's tied for that one versus when it's very, very end, and they're facing down the king, and Canute is sitting there like, I'm ready to claim my throne, And I just remember getting like strong Skyrim vibes of like, all right, you got to save, man. You got to save before you do anything because this is not going to end well for you. Yes. And the tacticalness and the foresight that Askeladd has in planning all of this not only told me he's a smart character, but how he's a smart character. Like with L, he's just a smart character because he knows everything by the time that it needs to become real.
Yeah, the story needs that. It just needed him to be smart. Yeah,
exactly.
And in Askeladd's case, it felt, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because it didn't feel like it didn't feel like, because the show never kind of made it, it does a good way of showing and not telling. Because, you know, because looking back at it, like, he was always scheming, you know, from his introduction. Mm-hmm. He was always that smart, but it didn't feel like I noticed it until, like, the latter half of the show. I'm like, oh my God, this dude's a mastermind. Mm-hmm. But a really believable one, which makes it a little more scary, too, at the same time.
And they do a good job of giving you reason, and then at the same time, they give, like, that mystical anime reason.
Yes,
you know, I don't want to spoil the entire show. I do want your audience to like be like interested of like what's the magical reason? But like there was a connection of like no, he's this smart because of magic anime reasons. I love it. I'm here for it. Don't get me wrong. And it was just like oh yeah, no, and I bought it. It's kind of that JoJo's buy in. You know, you're just like yeah, that's no, true. Of course, you know he jumped. I'm watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I was on the last arc that's on.
If you guys can't tell.
And I was watching it, and it was like, all right, you need to get her back into the turtle. And that's exactly when my wife walks by and goes, I don't even need to know. I don't know. I'm done. I'm out.
I'm here. You know what? I'll leave you to it. You know. Do you?
And I was like, let me explain. No. No, it's good.
Nah, I don't need to hear it. I'm not hearing it. We've gushed over it a lot, all right? And a few criticisms I've seen, and from what asking some people this weekend, I was asking some of my friends, like, have you watched Vinland Saga? What did you think about it? They always, most of them, kind of came to sense that they thought the beginning was a little slow, that it felt a little disjointed, or a little, that they thought Thorfinn was a little too annoying in the beginning. And looking back on, I think maybe my first run through of it, I may have felt that way. Not on my recent run playthrough. He doesn't annoy me. Maybe slow. Maybe I'll take that. I think it does try to set up things, for the show. But other than that, the only real downside of the show, from other than being only 24 episodes and just one season, I should have planned this, but I thought I could come up with a good downside of it, but like maybe the only really downside is that I don't know, lack of. You know what, David? I think I'm stumped. What does this show do in your mind that you find it a little bit lacking?
I think sometimes, and this is such a minute criticism.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, it would have to be nitpicking. But
I think sometimes they do too many establishing shots. You know, their camera pan across the forest or something along those lines. Because that kills the pacing sometimes. Like, really intense dialogue is happening. And then Askeladd's group is walking across the forest.
Yeah. Now that you say that, some of those are the moments where I'm like looking off to the side, something else, or working on something, because I know I'm going to get a few seconds of this. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have to pay attention too much. You know what? That's a good point. You sounded smarter than me, and you turns out
it's not what you say; it's how you say it, my friend. No, and like to the point, like I can see why Thorfinn's character in those first few episodes would be really hard to deal with. But when you look at like the carryover from father to son, we see Thor and we see that he's a violent man with a past, and we know that he has that berserker's rage within him. And this is only coming from the eyes of somebody who has finished the series. And we see that same thing is happening in Thorfinn, in Son of Thor. And he's sitting there like, beating up the other kids in his little village. And
I thought that was really interesting too. Yeah. Where like he seemed so overly aggressive. Just really rambunctious. Like or they were trying to put a theme in where like, you know, you just, you know, you can't take your family's blood out of you or something like that. Like I was wondering where they were going with that.
I think it's like sins of the father kind of thing, right? Like you still have the aspects of your family, and you can still look forward to the training and the diligence that Thor took into his life to become a compassionate man, to grow and learn from his trials. And I think it was one of those things that was why I connected with it so much, because I got daddy issues. If you go to Comic Trades Monthly, I talk about my daddy issues all the damn time. And to see that, just that candle snuffed out so quickly, and the opportunity to see Thorfinn grow into the man he could become, the potential that was lost, explains the rest of his character, of why he's so angry, why he's ready to go into that classic Viking berserker's rage kind of thing. You know what I mean?
When you say that, it reminds me of the one of the later episodes, 22, 23, the reunion. I think it was called Reunion, when he met, was it Leaf? Was it Leaf again?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, and I got goosebumps, honestly. Like, I remember when he, like, hugs him, and Thorfinn's eyes, and was like, I know this guy. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I was like, and it just brought back to simpler times. I wish they were going to do Whit could have done something really cool with that little moment. But in my mind, I was going back, and I was seeing innocent Thorfinn, and I was seeing Thorfinn who was training in the woods with this one sole purpose in his mind, and how, like you say, it kind of taints him. And he's like, you know what? I really don't care. I don't really care how my mom's sister's doing. To be honest, I really don't care about you right now. Because I think that's what he says, or maybe Leaf says that, it's like, as long as that guy's breathing, this is all you're going to be doing. You're like, there's nothing else to you. As long as Askeladd's still breathing, you're just going to keep doing this. And I was like, yeah, that's, and I kind of found a little bit of connection to that. And we're not going to get deep here, Weave, all right? But, you know, we all have our, things that we have mental ties to that kind of hampers in us to moving forward. I'll say it like that. And that, I thought that was actually something really, it was an unsaid kind of moral of the story of that, at least of those few episodes that I really liked. Cause I didn't think I would expect it in a show about Vikings. Maybe that's also a reason why I thought it was really, really jarring, but in a good way though.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, I didn't expect to walk away like with a, that's, I learned something. It touched me, and my heart is growing three sizes too big. Like, I can't handle this.
We all had our little grunge moment, you know, watching this show. There was something else I wanted to bring up. I think we did talk a lot about the plot and what we liked about it. So I want to kind of step back because we could talk about it all day. Trust me. But I do want to kind of talk about the production of it. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. We talked a little bit about how Wit Studio did a really well. I thought it did a really well. Good job of displaying emotions with the stills, with the hands. And there's so many examples. I think the first example was early on, might have been episode one or two, when like Thorfinn finds that knife, finds his short, and then Thor just like comes down and just grabs it, and then I'm like, oh god, that's a good shot right there. And but what did you think about the opening? So I think it has two openings, right? At the one by Man with a Mission, that was the second one, Dark Crow, and then the first one. Not even to say, I can't remember anything, but I know it starts with the Amaretto, and I think that's done by Survive, Said the Prophet. And I'm more of a, I think the first opening.
Yeah.
I kind of like that metal vibe, but that's just me.
I I love a good anime opener. Like, you know, I think it's like Full Metal Alchemist, the OG, not Brotherhood.
Ooh, chef's kiss.
Man, those openings were always so freaking solid.
So underrated too.
I agree. But like, does this not just set the tone? Like the first one where it's got that kind of whisper, ba-da-da, ba-da-da-da, da-da, and then it builds up, crescendos into this fantastic, just like quick-paced, fast shots of everything that you need to know about these characters. It's violent, it's gory, it's got teamwork, it's got hate, it's got vengeance, it's got power plays. Oh, man.
I was going to say, not only the song is a banger, but the actual, the opening, mm-hmm. the visuals is amazing as well. I think I like the visuals a little bit more of the second mm-hmm. opening. I may not like the song as much as the first one. But the visuals in the second opening are really nice. And it took me a while. And then I'm like, oh, they did the anime thing. All the stuff I'm seeing here literally just is the plot of the second
one. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm like, oh, no. It made me really sad about the whole Canute and his right hand thing all over again. Every time I see that opening.
And like, I don't think any anime has a second opener that's as good as the first. Usually like the third or fourth one, you're like, oh man, this one's really good. But
why is that? Why? That frustrates me.
See,
David, I don't think, why?
I think that's us. I think that's 100% us. Okay. I think we as humans don't like change. So we sit there and go, it's not what I wanted. It's not the same thing. It could be objectively just as good, if not better. Yes. But we sit there and we go, no, it's not the same. I don't care. It's not what I want.
Because like Fire Force, the first two openings of Fire mm-hmm. Force are great. I think now you say that, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just a dumb human being. Because in the second season of Fire Force, the first opening by Amer is a bomb. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is done by Lisa. So they got these two ladies who have done anime openings for all types of cool mm-hmm. shows. And I'm like, and I love them both. And I'm like, but the first one. Lisa's, but the first one, though. And I feel so unfair.
Yeah, I think it's just really what you were first exposed to, and like you just get so comfortable with it, and then when things change, it's hard to deal with that. And I was watching Food Wars, which great anime.
Good show.
And I remember listening to the end credits change, and I was like, it's good, I guess. But
it's good. It's not what I want.
It's not that cute, upbeat kind of ba da ba 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 da da. You know, it feels so peppy and light, and like even after like the fact that this guy's food could have killed someone had they not prepared it in just the right way, and it blew all of their clothes off. Like it just kind of brings you back down to earth from the ridiculousness, the fan service, and mm-hmm. then you're just like. Really yeah, does. All right, this is nice. This is always a little chill. And then anytime it changes, it just like, okay, I guess. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I usually don't have, I feel like I don't have this bias all the time because I'm a big fan. And it's, you know, it kind of ties back. This is what we call guys. but I think Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi's uh-huh. Spider-Man 2, is probably one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. And I think it's objectively uh-huh. better than the first one. So it's like, I feel like I have the mental capacity to understand that for some mm-hmm. things, like I can do it, but you know, I'm just doing too many mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
It
takes
work.
Time to like pull away from it. And like, you know, mm-hmm. I think there are a few exceptions. You know, talking back comics, we could take the Batman Dark Knight trilogy, because we all know number two is the best one.
Number two is legitimately the better one. I will always stay on
And that everyone one. Will probably like sit there and go, yeah, no, that's like they walked out of the theater and said that is the best one. You know, no matter what. Yeah. I would say that probably like X-Men, a lot of X-Men movie fans, the original X-Men,
X2 was probably the better one.
Yeah, it hits those themes of what X-Men characters have to deal with every single day before it got too cartoony with X-Men 3.
Was that last? Was that called?
Yeah, Last Stand.
The case. Oh my god! I think I have that on VHS somewhere.
I'm so sorry, my dude.
And yeah, you know what? I may have to dig it up and then dig it again. Put it in a ditch. I don't know why. You know what? I do know why.
Okay.
No story. My aunt. Aunt Gail, shout out to Aunt Gail.
Thanks, Aunt Gail.
Yeah, thank you for buying me this VHS tape. It was a Christmas present, birthday, because my birthday is in January. So it was after Christmas, and she was like, "Oh, you like comic book things?" And the VHS came out recently or whatever. So and she gave it to me, and I watched it. And I probably liked it because it's. When I think about it, the action was kind of funny. It was flashy. It was cool. Was that the movie where Colossus is just like running through the school, just barreling through walls or something?
Juggernaut does that with like a bunch of like, he's running through like whatever prison facility or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember like, I dig that. I dig that. Yeah. That's
edgy. Yeah. And I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That was our lives at one point.
What we had.
yeah, I was going to say, what we had in comic book content, man, was a...
hit or miss.
Quite a lot
more missed.
Yeah. And a lot of misses. A lot of misses. We're on this little tirade, what is your favorite comic book movie? Maybe that might be... You probably get asked that a lot, though, right?
You know, it changes pretty frequently. I think right now, based on recency... I watched Logan not too long ago, and if you want a movie that's gonna fuck you up, watch that, and sit there and just listen to Johnny Cash after you do the movie, and if you don't feel something, like you can't be empathetic. You've got sociopathic behaviors probably built in there because on Comic Trades Monthly we're doing a movie bracket challenge. 100 movies,
ooh.
50 DC, 50 Marvel. And we're trying to find which one's the best one. And it's so bad. It's so bad. There's so many shit movies out there, man. Don't do what we did. It just listen to us talk about it. And we just did The Wolverine, which is like the second movie in the Wolverine trilogy.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And there's a scene where this person's like, "I saw how you died with your hand in your heart. Your powers are gone." And like you think about it and like, yeah, that is exactly what happens in that same movie. But he dies in Logan with his daughter's hand with your heart in your hand, and he's holding her hand and he's sitting there bleeding. His powers have left him. Fuck, man.
I think, you know what? I did see that in theaters. So that was, I was thinking about it and I was like, if this wasn't called Logan and this was just a movie, I'm like, man, this is a pretty solid movie. But if you add that context, you add the characters, you add the universe that they were Fox was trying to do. It was such a powerful movie. And I've always wanted to like show it to somebody and just be like, and give them no context about it and just kind of sit them and just let them watch it. Cause I feel like, how can you hate that movie? Like it's like, you may not think it's the best movie I've ever seen, but like, there's no way you can hate this.
Like it doesn't have a lot of the same issues that you see with Marvel movies. And I'll, you know, as much as I am a stan for Marvel movies, I also have my problems. Like, everyone ends with same versus same. They so very rarely get the bad guy to be in a situation where they can come back. So the bad guy usually dies by the end of it. There's lots of problems. And Logan does a lot of that right. So there is a same versus same fight, but it's not quite the same. Because, you know, there's the clone of Wolverine that he fights. But it's not the end battle.
Yes.
So good.
I think that's why I like, I'm a big critique. I critique One Piece a lot, and it's kind of a running gag, nudge, nudge on the show that I do, that, you know, or One Piece, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's all right. It's average. And, like, I like to, like, you know, not get people upset, but I do, like, joke about how One Piece is not as great as everyone else. Yeah. And I think as a shonen, it's your stock shonen. But I think there are shonens that can do what things like One Piece does, but, you know, with a twist. And I think, like you said, Logan does what other comic book movies has done before, but with a little mm-hmm. twist. And I think that's why I think my favorite comic book movie is a Marvel MCU movie, actually. But I think it's one of the better ones. But okay. So don't judge me all quite right. yet. But I think, objectively, I think one of the better MCU movies is Winter Soldier. I think Captain America Winter Soldier was one of the better ones. For the same reasons as you kind mm-hmm. of brought up with Logan. Because I do think it was kind of what I think MCU should have been doing. Because I thought they were going to do genre movies, but with comic book characters. I felt like Winter Soldier was a spy movie.
Yeah.
You know? But it just happened to have Captain America. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I liked it so much. You know? I still think MCU still could, they could still do that. I hope they do. Like, it'd be nice to see a comedy, but it just happens to be, well, they do color. They put in comedy in yeah. every goddamn movie. Not every movie has to be a laugh out loud affair. I'm looking at you, Thor.
Oh,
Ragnarok.
Man. But Thor Ragnarok saved it, man. After coming off of Thor Dark World.
The fact that that's, yeah, the fact that that's the best Thor movie made me worry about the whole Thor lineage of movies. But, I was going to say, what are your thoughts with Deadpool? Because they have the rights to Deadpool now, right?
Kevin Feige, the guy who's like has got his fingers in all the pies, he's the puppeteer for the MCU stuff. You know, if a Marvel movie is being made right now, he knows about it. He helped write it. He's got connections. He's the man with a plan, right? And so he has said that like Deadpool is going to continue happening. We're going to continue keeping it R-rated, and we're probably just not going to let it connect at all with the rest of the world, which is scary.
Ooh.
But
little worrisome, but I'll you know.
Yeah, I think there's potential, and I really enjoyed Deadpool 1 and 2. Deadpool 2 had some issues. Yes. You know, they fridged the woman, and
God,
and time, like there's still some solid moments in Deadpool 2. Deadpool 1's the superior, but I'm excited to see whatever they do next with Ryan Reynolds and just the Deadpool property. I don't know. Pull a Logan, but with Deadpool. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Why not? Why? Because look, I feel bad for bringing this up because it feels like I'm a, what do you call it? When people talk about, I watch Dragon Ball Z, you know, and then I bring up, Deadpool kills the Marvel universe. Is that the same thing? Like, do people? When people bring that up, they're like, "Oh, of course, everyone reads that." You know, everyone's read that. But
I'm such a person that like hates gatekeeping. Like, you want to call yourself a fan after reading like a single issue? Fuck yeah, do that thing. You know, there's no reason to try and say like, "Well, you need to read all of Vinland Saga to be a fan." Like, no, you don't. I just barely started picking up the manga. You know, that shit's expensive.
I was gonna say, look, it's hard to be a geek of any kind these days. You know, it's easier because there's a lot of access, but the cash toll, man, it's no joke.
No, I don't know. Like, do what makes you happy. You don't have to spend every waking moment learning everything just to be happy. Like, watch the movies and like think Guardians of the Galaxy is the best thing ever and never read the comics because, man, those early Guardians comics are not good.
Oh, I've never touched those. I think I love the early like Teen Titan runs. For the love of me, I do not know who did. It's the one popular writer. I can't think of his name, but I love those runs. I love Cyborg in those. I love the idea of Deathstroke and his involvement in those comics with Jericho and his brother. I'm mad I can remember Jericho, but I can't remember. Whatever his daughter.
Rose? I think it's just Rose. I think that's his only daughter. I'm not as big of a DC person as I am Marvel. So.
I was gonna say I don't know which I am. I just know that I've read comics, and I'm like, I know that, I think. But I was thinking I would love to see if they just had fun with Deadpool, like you said. Just, you know, if they're not gonna connect it. I mean I kinda do wish they do something with Deadpool and the X-Men, kind of keep that thing going. Because they have the X-Men, or they're sharing the property.
So they,
right?
they own X-Men now. They're still sharing the property of Spider-Man with Sony.
Okay, that's the one they're sharing. That's right. Okay. Yeah, I was like, just look, you can do an easy, and I guess, well, I don't know how easy it would be, but pick a few X-Men, throw in Deadpool, maybe get one or two movies out of it, end it with a bang, with Deadpool kills off Marvel or just kills MCU. They could do something like that. And just for fun.
They bring back Robert Downey Jr. and like he like shoots him in the head and is like, why was that so hard? Why couldn't any of you do that?
Look, Disney Plus, are you guys listening? I know you listen to this show, right? So David's got the ideas. Hire my boy. Do Deadpool kills the MCU on Disney Plus. If WandaVision is a hit, this big of a hit, and it feels like Falcon and the Winter Soldier one is going to be just as big, if not bigger, because it has so much momentum now after WandaVision. Disney knows
they
how to make
sure
it
do. They know how to earn my buck too. Like,
trust me, they have my money. They tell me to sit, I do it. They tell me to jump, I ask how high. It's ridiculous. I felt like we've talked a lot, and I don't want to take too much of your time, any more of your time. So I do want to leave you some time here at the end to let you talked about your show, your podcast, which I implore everyone to listen to, especially the comic book one. And I'm going to get to the cosplay one. I really want to try listen to the cosplay one. That'd just be a world I'd be entering that I have literally no knowledge of about, other than just I know people do it and people do it well.
That's how I started on the show. Like I first was just the editor, and I was like, I've maybe done this like once or twice. Like I wouldn't consider myself a cosplayer at all. And now like 100 episodes in, I'm part of the main cast, and I was like, yeah, you're a cosplayer. You went out, you bought a t-shirt, you cosplayed. It's awesome.
You did it. Look. I was going to say, if you publish a podcast episode, you're a podcaster. It's too late. You can't. No tipsy backsies. You'll be hooked on different shows. You'll want to do different shows. There's no going back. But if you wanted to talk about your show anymore here or plug your social medias, anything, I'll have it all in. I'll put it in the show notes, guys. Awesome. Don't worry. Just go to the bottom, look at it, and we'll have it all down there for you. But if you want to talk any about that,
You. So Dungeons and Chill, like I said, we're on Twitter at Dungeons and Chill, the letter N. If you enjoy high fantasy, elves, orcs, you know, giant battles, if you think Critical Role, you know, this might be up your alley. Definitely not, you know, voice actor qualities. Definitely not at the beginning. Gotten a lot better. But we cut out like all of the boring like rule stuff and side table talk, so it's just the game for you. And like We're doing original stuff. We've got like a huge backlog of episodes, so you're good there. If you enjoy comic books and you kind of enjoyed what C-Dub and I just did, I do that all the damn time on Comic Trades Monthly. You know, at this rate, C-Dub, I'm gonna have to have you on there because this was fantastic. I need more of this in my life.
Look, I love it. I didn't want to say it first. I thought I was jumping the gun.
I don't want to
look. I've done this with many women.
I don't want to be too forward in this, you know, future relationship that we've got here.
It's, you know, I wanted to tiptoe to it, but look, I don't care if it's any book, any manga, up
Hell
to
yeah.
you. I'll read it. I'll buy it.
Hell
let's
yeah.
Do it.
But if you want to hang out with us on Comic Trades Monthly, you can follow me on Twitter at Comic Trades Pod. Or finally, last and not least, there's Cosplay Stitch and Seam, which is where I talk about cosplay, and I'm the Everman. I don't know everything about it, so I'm gonna ask the dumb questions. I'm getting better. I'm getting a lot better. And yeah, if you just want like some wholesome content where just like we're trying to build a great community and listen to people and share our experiences, Cosplay Stitch and Seam, really great place, awesome people.
Thank you so much. Definitely make sure you guys check out these shows. Like I said, all the information will be there for you in the show notes of this episode, so you guys can check out David's work. Thank you. Thank you again for just wanting to come on, because, like I said, look, small potatoes guy here, and I feel like I got on.
Oh, man.
I kind of feel, because when I was like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. Man, is this, you know, what am I going to ask? You know, what shows is he seeing? Man, you came out thank rocking you. It, going with the flow. I love it. You know, I like to keep things concise, strict, but I kind of like rolling with the punches. And that's exactly, and I'm glad you did exactly that. So hopefully it wasn't too loosey-goosey, I guess, is the term I'm trying to look
I loved
here
every
for.
Second of it, Cena. I loved every second of it.
I loved every second. Oh, man, second. Top so, of there you go. Yeah, so, yeah, look, that's what I like to look, it's my
fair
show.
Fair enough. All right, I concede.
But thank you so much for coming on. I hope you guys enjoy this episode of Weepcast. I hope you enjoy more guests in the future. I'm going to try to do them. I'm going to try. It's hard to find the time and lovely people like David. It's hard to find good people, right? But we're going to do this more. You're totally welcome back.
Oh, you can count on it. You can count on it. Anytime you need me, I am here.
Well, hey, don't say that or I'm going to be blowing your phone up or something, all right? Don't tell me that. You're going to get tons of messages. But yeah, Eddie, want to do a show? Because there's a lot of anime that I think, like Vinland Saga. I mean, people have forgotten it, but I think there's some other shows that people have totally probably thought it dropped off the face of the earth. And we could probably do another great talk about it for sure. So that'd be great. But thank you guys for listening and supporting the show. Like I said, I'm not talking about third person stuff. You keep sharing the show. Keep sharing it with your friends and family. Keep connecting weaves. Let's treat each other with some respect. We're all weaves. So, you know, we're sad anyway. So let's do that much as well. My Twitter is also in the show notes. My Instagram is in there. Instagram is at WeebcastTV. Twitter is BasedSenpai. I just tweet hot takes. Talk about One Piece. How wide I don't think it's all that great. But, and the occasional pop culture jokes. So if you like that, you can check me out there. Also, if you want to support the show, there's a little link in the bottom, at the very bottom, where it says support this show, where you can go to give just a flat little donation for me. It helps me out a lot. Really do appreciate it. Or you can go to the Patreon, patreon.com/weebcastshow. That'd be a lot of cool perks, real cheap. Get your dollar, get early episodes, get all that cool and good juicy stuff, Q&As, much more and more. But so check that out as well. Thank you so much for listening. And this is David, my new friend, our new friend. He's part of the Weebcast gang. And I'm C-Dub, a.k.a. Chris, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. the Independent Bro, a.k.a. he's going to have to eat some of this Taco Bell a little bit in a minute. And we'll see you guys later.